Our main verses for this morning is going to be Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We're going to be jumping around quite a bit, but we're talking about baptism this morning. Let's read these verses together. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you and we praise you and we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your anointing in this service. Thank you that your will is going to be done, that we're going to leave here changed people, excited and refreshed and encouraged and hungry to obey your word and hungry to be about your business, Lord. And I ask you right now, Father God, those of us in here with heavy hearts, Lord, I ask you to minister to us, Lord, and give us peace and even joy this morning. Thank you that there's an excitement in this people. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. God bless you guys. I'm so honored. I'm so stoked to be with you guys. It's wonderful to be together and just share the word of God with my family. And look around. This is our family. You know, we may not have a lot in common. We may have a lot in common. But one thing that we do have in common is that we belong to this family of God. We are part of the body of Christ. We are Christians. Amen? We're Christians. We belong to Jesus. So anywho, I love being here with you guys, and I want to share this with you, and I hope that we're all blessed. Let's look at our text. This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, or the 11 apostles. This is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So this is after the cross. He is risen from the dead, and he is about to ascend up to heaven. He is about to return to the Father. And he leaves these important words with his disciples. And so we're going to go over these words again. This is the farewell instructions to his disciples. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So there's actually a lot going on in that little verse right there. One thing, the big takeaway is, okay, here's the deal. Satan is not in charge. Can I get a witness? Satan's not in charge, okay? Jesus Christ is in control. Jesus Christ has the authority on earth and in heaven, okay? He took that from Satan at the cross, okay? Satan stole it from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ took it back at the cross. Jesus Christ rules and reigns. So having said that, let's spend a little bit of time thinking about this. Satan is not ruling and reigning, okay? So the power that Satan has, listen up, the power that Satan has in your life or in the life of other people is the authority that they give to him. They have to, Satan has to sneak in his way. He has to have permission, if I can use that, okay? He's not in charge, okay? But just like the Germans are the Nazis at the end of World War II, just like the Japanese Imperial Military Forces at the end of World War II, when both of these nations, they knew that they had already lost. They knew that the inevitable was that they were going to be defeated, but they still fought more tenaciously than ever before. One of the rules that the Japanese were given on the island of Iwo Jima as the Marines were coming ashore, they said, listen, here's the deal. You guys are going to die. There's no getting around that. You guys are going to die. But for the homeland, for the home islands, this is your duty to the emperor. Take out 10 Marines before you can give up your life. So they knew the battle was lost. They knew the war was lost, but they fought harder than ever against the inevitable. So we have a defeated foe. We have Satan, who is already lost, but he works in manipulation. He works in lies, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But listen, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. We've already won the war. I need to calm down. I'm about to trip over my words. I get riled up. Wally, I get riled up, man. I don't mean to. Okay, but I love the Lord. Sir? No, they didn't. That's how rumors get. Do you know if somebody put something in here? No. What's going on here? This is just high quality water. This is purified. There's nothing. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just pull it back together. He was talking about Marines and okay. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus Christ is in charge. Now, that's our takeaway from that right there. You belong to Jesus. You belong to God the Father through what Jesus Christ did at the cross. You accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Okay, he's in charge. So what does that mean to you? Okay, that means that we are subordinate to him. He's the boss, okay? And I'm not trying to oversimplify anything, but when the boss tells us to do something, we need to take it seriously. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Lord. So what do we have here? Verse 19. This is what Jesus tells his disciples. This is what Jesus tells us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So there's a group of commands that Jesus Christ is giving us, giving his disciples, giving us, go into all the nations, okay? So this salvation isn't just for a select group of people. Okay, this salvation is for everyone, and we need to be willing to give that, this precious gift that we have, give that to anyone. We are to go anywhere, talk to anybody, and proclaim the gospel or the good news to them, making disciples of all nations, all people. Well, what is a disciple? A follower. We're to make followers of Christ, and it's not that we do that, but we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, and we give the gospel, and they receive the gospel, and boom, they're now in the family with us. So we go into all the world, we give the gospel, and then not only do we give the gospel, but when these people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we are to instruct them and to teach them the word of God. So sometimes we have people that are real quick to lead people to Christ, but sometimes there's no follow-up instructions, and I kind of just leave this brand new baby Christian all alone. And that's a horrible, scary place for a brand new Christian. So if we do lead someone to Christ, okay, if we are one of those people that lead someone to Christ, we need to get them installed in a church. We need to get them installed with a brother or a sister that can help them learn about these things. And that's what we got going on in our text here. And he also says, I'll be with you. God says, I'll be with you. Yeah, it's scary talking about Jesus sometimes. Nobody likes dealing with rejection. No one likes to deal with stuff like that. But God says, you know what? Look, this is what I'm asking you to do, and I'm going to be with you all the way till the very end, till the last day. Okay, I'll be with you. Okay, so Christians don't have to have fear. Matter of fact, there's a verse that me and Donnie like to talk about a lot. Isaiah 41 verse 10. It's one of my favorite. I call it one of my pillar verses because it's one of these verses that I really, really lean on as I go out and try and do what I feel like the Lord has called me to do and witness to people and stuff like that. Isaiah 41 verse 10. So do not fear. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So God is going to be with us. The Holy Spirit is going to be with us. But let's look at the other part of this instruction that Jesus Christ is giving to his apostles. Okay, he says here, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So easy answer, why in the world do Christians get baptized? Why in the world do we baptize brand new believers? Why did you get baptized? Easy answer, God tells us to do it. Jesus Christ tells us to do it. Remember, he's the one in charge. And he says, this is something that we do. This is something that he wants us to do as believers. Every Christian person should be baptized. Moving forward, let's go to the next slide. Is everybody doing all right today? So we are ordered. There are some directives, there are some orders that the Lord gives us. And they're not to be taken lightly. It's not really, you know, do I feel like doing this? Or is this what grandma did? Or is this what my college professor said I should do? Or is this what my old church said? Well, it's not really about any of those things. It's about what God says. It's about what his word says. And we are to be baptized. Okay, so when? Here's the question. When do we get baptized? Well, like I said, I don't want to oversimplify anything, but to be baptized, you need to be a Christian. You need to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not about jumping through a bunch of hoops. It's not about a bunch of laws. It's not about being super cool or sinless. It's about accepting what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. It's about understanding the fact that, yeah, I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. Heaven is a place made for perfect people, and I ain't perfect. There's no way I can get there. Okay, well, there's good news. None of us are perfect. But see, we accept a perfect gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. Okay, God offers us a free gift of salvation brought to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. So we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. We repent of our sins, and boom, now you're in the family. Now you can get baptized. So what I'm trying to say is there's no reason to get baptized unless you're a Christian person. All right? So there's no real benefit. I hate to say it. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. But there's no benefit. There's no spiritual benefit to infant baptism, okay? That baby, it might be a cute, wonderful time of celebration or something like that. But infant baptism, that child has not accepted Jesus Christ as its Lord and Savior. Anyways, I believe in the age of accountability, meaning that baby, if something were to happen to that baby or to that child before it reaches an age of awareness of sin and salvation, then he'll go directly into paradise like any other believer. So we don't have to worry about, okay, I got this brand new baby. Let me go to the preacher and let him sprinkle some water on him. No, we don't need to do that. There's no real reason to do that, but we do pray for our children moving forward. Okay, so when do we get baptized? You got to be saved. Look at Matthew 28 and verse 19 right there on the monitor. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. So number one, make the disciple, all right? If they're not a disciple or if they're not a follower of Christ, they don't get baptized. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And so one of the things when we do our baptism service, you know, a lot of times little kids want to be baptized and stuff like that. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, here's the thing. They really need to understand what's going on. They need to understand this is for people that have accepted Christ. And that's if they've accepted Christ, then they understand. Let's do it. Anyways, look at this right here. What comes first? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Number one. Number two, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. So we get baptized because it is a order given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When do we get baptized? You got to be saved. Look at Acts 2 and verse 41. Now this right here, we have the Apostle Peter just briefly after Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and Jesus goes back up to the Father. And now the disciples have received the Holy Spirit. And we see the Apostle Peter giving this amazing, just cray-cray. All God's people said cray-cray. You did it. Just this amazing sermon, looking at these people that had a direct hand in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and just pointing them out and saying, Jesus, who you crucified, man. And he begins to tell them how they must be saved. Just amazing boldness. Okay, but this is what's going on here as Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 and verse 41. Let's look at the order here yet again. So those who received his word, or those who received the gospel, or those who accepted Christ, so those who received his word were baptized, okay? There's an order to things, and baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now, that's a good church service right there, man. That ain't a bad day at the office, right, Miss Ellen? Got 3,000. I don't know where we're going to fit everybody. That's a good problem to have. But moving forward here, there's an order to things. Okay, so when do we get baptized? You got to be saved. Okay, I just accepted Christ. Okay, well, now you need to be baptized. Look at Acts 8, 35 and 36. We don't hear a lot about Phil. We don't hear a lot about Philip in the Gospels. We don't hear too much about Philip. But Philip was one of the original 12 disciples. And God called him to do a unique thing one day, a unique thing with a eunuch. Okay. Anyways, God calls Philip to go somewhere, and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, this guy that has a very high position in the Ethiopian court of the queen, very high-ranking fella. And this Ethiopian eunuch has come to Jerusalem to the temple where the Jews worship. This is interesting. This guy comes all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem in Israel, to the temple, to worship. What do we got here, folks? We got a truth seeker. We got somebody that is not content with his own pagan religions that he was force-fed when he was a child in Africa. And he's like, I just don't feel like this is it. I don't feel like this is the thing. I feel like there's something going on here. So he's in search of the one true God, and he finds himself in Jerusalem, and he leaves there still searching for the answers, but he does leave with a scroll of the book of Isaiah, you know, which that in itself would be an amazingly expensive gift. They didn't have books like we had, and each scroll had to be handwritten, and it was a tedious process, and this guy is leaving with a scroll of the book of Isaiah. This would be an amazing a gift or amazing thing that this Ethiopian eunuch has. So he's leaving, and he's on the back of his chariot with his entourage, and he's looking through the book of Isaiah in the scroll, and he's actually in Isaiah 53, where it talks about what Jesus Christ sacrificed. You know, he's looking at it, and he doesn't really know what's going on. And then Philip is right there, and there's an interesting point that maybe we should hit real fast. So it comes up from time to time, and it certainly pops up a lot when you're talking to an atheist or agnostic or some unbeliever, and they're like, well, what about the guy? And it's always in like some godforsaken corner of the world or something. But what about this guy that never heard the gospel or never saw a Bible or never heard a preacher or something like that? Well, in Romans, it talks about the greatest witness in the world is what God has created. The environment, the things we see, it all points to the fact that there is a God, that there is a creator. So no one can plead ignorance. Everything we see points to the fact that there's something bigger than us. And it also talks about how we literally have to suppress the truth if we do not choose to believe in a God. If we choose to not believe in Jesus Christ, we have to push the truth away. So we have this amazing witness when we look at the mountains, my gosh, we don't have mountains around here. But if you've ever seen the Pacific Northwest or you've seen, you know, some of these amazing things, but just look around here, look at the beach, look at the swamp and the world that goes on inside of a tree and all these amazing things. It's all too perfect, and you know it. You know that this didn't just happen. There wasn't just some big bang. Okay, but anyways, anywho, all God's people said, anywho. Okay, so anywho. This guy was seeking the truth, man. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a preacher. But there was something stirring up in his heart. Okay, see, the Holy Spirit goes around searching for someone to bless. Okay, so whether there's this guy walking around in the jungles of South America and he doesn't know anything about God, you know, the Holy Spirit will speak to him and say, there's more to this than what you got going on here. Do you really want to worship that frog? And I'm not making, you know, you really think that fire is God or whatever, you know, he'll begin to minister to them. So we all have chances, and it's up to us whether or not we want to accept that. Okay, there's story upon story. I don't know why I'm on this, but anyways, here we go. There's story on top of story of in the early days and missionary trips when these German missionaries would go into the Congo and different places. They would find these tribes that said, hey, the Great Spirit told us that you were coming, that you were going to tell us more about this Jesus guy. And no one had ever been there before, but there was somebody that said there's got to be more than this. There was somebody that listened to the Holy Spirit, and God began to reveal himself to these people. So, and if you ain't biting on that, if that's not doing it for you, okay, well, here's the deal as far as you're concerned. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it, so you can't plead ignorance. But I'm telling you, God's a gracious God, okay? He's a gracious God, and he goes to and fro looking for people to show himself real to. But anyways, moving forward, I don't even know where we're at. Maybe we should stop for lunch. Maybe not. Okay. Acts 8 and 35, well, we never read this. This is Philip talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. So the Ethiopian eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah, and he's like, oh, man, I don't get it. And so Philip says, hey, do you know what you're reading there? You know what? And he's like, not really. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, who's this guy? Is Isaiah talking about himself? Or is he talking about someone else? And Philip says, okay, all right, bro, I got you. And he begins to tell him about Jesus Christ. And he leads him into salvation. Now we have the Ethiopian eunuch is a saved person. So when do we get baptized? As soon as possible, once you've accepted Christ. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with the scriptures, Isaiah 53, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came. This is cool. Philip just jumps in the chariot with this dude, you know, and they're just having a Bible study. Along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? So we get baptized because God tells us to be baptized. It's something we're supposed to do. When do we get baptized? Well, you better be saved, or it's not really, you're not really doing anything but going swimming. And, you know, as soon as you get baptized, you need to make plans to do it. And like Sister Claudia was saying, yeah, we from time to time we do our baptism service down at the river. But if you haven't been baptized and you want to be baptized and we're not nowhere near our baptism service time, we'll go down. We'll meet you. You know, we'll spray you with the water hose. We'll take you to the river. We'll kick you in the ditch when the water's running. We'll get you baptized. We want to do it. It's not a problem. We do it all the time when people want to be baptized. But you need to be baptized. Let's go to the next slide. Stay there. Now, here's a big one. Okay, so we're supposed to do it. But is baptism, is this something that is going to save my soul? Is this something that if I don't do, I don't get to go to heaven? Nope, it's not like that. Now, God tells us to do it, and we are to do it. But if you don't do it, it does not save your soul or condemn you whether or not you have or haven't done that. Does that make sense? Okay, let me back it up. I think the absolute best place for me to make this point would be right at the cross, of Christ, where we have the two thieves, one on each side of Jesus Christ, three people being crucified, three people in utter, complete physical and mental anguish as their life force is being drained out from them. And they're all dying here. We have the Son of God. We have Jesus Christ. And we have these thieves on the cross that are mocking the Son of God. But one of them quickly realizes that there's something unique about this guy in the middle. And this thief on the cross actually begins to stick up for Jesus and saying to the other guy, hey, we deserve what we got. We broke Roman law, okay, so we're in this pickle here. We're getting what we deserve according to the law. This guy is a just man. This guy is innocent. But there was a heart change. He began to understand who this Jesus Christ was, and this is what he says to Jesus Christ. Luke 23 and verse 42, this is the thief talking to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So he made a connection. He made a heart connection. He realized that this guy is the Son of God, that this guy is the King. Okay, he understands that. And keep in mind, a beautiful thing going on here is the thief on the cross here, as he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, he didn't say any of the magic words. He didn't say, Jesus didn't lead him down the Roman road or nothing like that. Okay, we do those things. But see, Jesus looks at the heart. Jesus knew this man's heart, and he's like, okay, you got it, man. You got it. You've accepted me. Okay, beautiful. And so Jesus doesn't say, dude, man, you were like 3 days. You barely missed it. If we could have done this earlier in the week, we could have been baptized. I could have baptized you. One of the boys could have baptized you. Then you could be with me today in paradise. He doesn't say that at all, does he? This is what he says. The thief on the cross did not have the opportunity to get baptized. And this is what Jesus said. And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So it is something that we are commanded to do. Our salvation is not bound by whether or not we get baptized. Some people do not have the luxury of getting baptized, like those on a deathbed salvation situation or something like that. But yes, we are to be baptized. Okay, but do not shed a tear or stay up late. Don't have any trouble sleeping if you think about your loved one who accepted Christ but did not get baptized. Okay, make sense? So what is baptism? It's outward testimony of what happened inwardly to you. It is an outward testimony of what happened inwardly to you upon salvation. So when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I said with my heart or my mouth, but I must be sincere about it. You know, I'm a sinner. I've made a bunch of mistakes. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, or all have fallen short of God's standard. There's a standard, and that standard is perfection. That standard is basically Jesus Christ, and we're not that. Okay, we've all fallen short. But remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so when I accept Christ, I become a new creation. I go from a dead man walking. I go from somebody that my destiny is eternal damnation in hell. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and boom, I am now. All those people said, boom. But say it like that Emeril Lagasse guy. I don't know how. Never mind. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Yeah, what are we talking about? Yeah, when you accept Jesus Christ, you become a new person. You go from death to life, okay? Remember what God the Father told Adam and Eve, what God told Adam and Eve in the garden? The day you eat of that fruit, you'll surely die. Well, they didn't drop dead as soon as they bit that, but their bodies began to go into that process, and there became that spiritual separation between them and the Creator, and Jesus fixed all that. Anyways, so it's a public profession of faith. It's like saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's like saying, I'm not ashamed to be counted as one of Christ's followers. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, it certainly means a lot here in America. Don't get me wrong. But the penalty in other parts of the world is far more stricter, far more severe than we can ever imagine right here in this day and age in America. Okay, there's certain parts of the world where if you get baptized, that's as good as a death sentence for you. You get baptized, okay, a good day is your family just completely rejects you for the rest of your life. All right, so this is a big deal when you say, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm going to publicly make this profession of faith. I am going to go through this picture of what happened in my heart when I accepted Jesus Christ. I was this dead person. I came up a new creation. I was this sinner. I was washed in the blood of the Lamb, and now I come up a new creation. And if we look at Matthew 10 and verse 32, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, this is Jesus. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, whoever's not ashamed of Jesus, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. So that's got to ring true. That's got to be something in the front of everyone's mind when they get baptized in these crazy places throughout the world where they could be murdered, they could be killed. There's places where, as a father, you can kill your daughter or your son if they accept Jesus Christ. It's a mercy killing is how it's looked on. They do not want Christianity to spread. And they say that is a cancer that must be destroyed right away. You don't let that sink in and spread like wildfire. You can kill your children. You can kill your wife. All God's people say, that's a mess. All right. So you're extremely blessed. You're extremely blessed to be an American. Amen. And we need to take advantage of the fact that we live here. Give the Lord some praise. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because one of the things that baptism shows, one of the things that it shows, is it shows what happens at salvation, okay? What happens when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? One of the things is I become part of the body of Christ. What? All God's people said, what is that? What does that mean? You become part of the body of Christ. You become part of God's church. God's church. You become part of this worldwide family that is connected by blood. What? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So our friends in Bangladesh, that's our family. Our friends in Vietnam, that's our family. Our friends in Canada, Lord bless them. They're our family. You know what I mean? If anybody's listening from Canada, we love you. We love your syrup. We love your syrup and your ham. In Niagara Falls and whatever else you got going on. Canadians are awesome. I don't know. I know one Canadian. I know two Canadians. They're all right, cats. They're good folks. So anyways, should we just stop since I forgot what we're doing? We become part of a family. A unique thing happens. Okay? So that is a picture of the fact that I am part of this special family. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, the body of Christ or the worldwide church. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So it's like he's saying, okay, before you were saved, you might have been a Canadian. And it's not that you're not a Canadian now, okay, but you also belong to something else. You are part of this family of God. You are a resident. You are a citizen of Canada. I don't know why I'm talking so much. I don't know, man. You come on up here. Someone come up here and do this for 40 minutes. My gosh. Well, you may be that. You may be a citizen of Florida or America, but more than that, you are now a citizen of heaven. You are part of this special family, okay? So you are something that has never been created before the cross. You are part of this special thing. Okay. Now, let me catch up with the slides here. Baptism is a picture of our death to sin. Baptism is a picture of our death to sin, or our old way of life. That old person has been crucified with Christ. That old person is dead because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Romans 6, verse 11, this is a picture or an illustration. Baptism is a picture or illustration of what happens inwardly when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That old man has been put away. Romans 6 and 11. Romans 6 and 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's not anything you did, but it's what Jesus Christ did at the cross. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're now in that special family. You now have direct access to the throne room of heaven. We can communicate with the creator of the universe, and he wants to hang out with us. And that old man has been put to death, all right? Now, that's something we got to do on a daily basis, man. Make sure that old man does not control our lives anymore. And remember, Satan's not victorious, but he's going to kick and scream and act and make you think that he is and try and take everything he can from you. But we rebuke that nonsense. I'm following a new master now. I belong to the Most High God. Jesus Christ is sovereign. He's in control. Amen. And that old man, baptism is a picture of becoming a new person. The old me has passed away. Now I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 12, talking about our new life in Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. See, baptism, the act of being submerged into water and coming back up, is also a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. He died, but he didn't stay dead. He died and he rose from the dead. Amen. See, that's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. See, a Christian, we're going to die once. That's just how it works. We're going to die once. One day our hearts are going to stop beating. One day our bodies will just give out. That's just how this thing works down here. Okay. But see, as a Christian, we only die once. Let me say it like this. Let me just completely complicate it for you smart people out there. If you're born twice, you only have to die once. You're born by your mother, and you're born by the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Therefore, you're born twice, you only have to die once. But if you're born once, all God's people said once. I've been working on saying once. Because sometimes, because I'm very Southern and from the deep South, sometimes I don't say once, I say something else. And Rachel's been saying, you need to say once and not once. Or it's like, man, what are you talking about? You said once. Do you still love me? Not really. She does. She does love me. Anyways, moving forward. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So I am a new creation in Christ. That old person is dead. I'm raised anew. All right, that's a picture of baptism, is an illustration of what happened in my heart or in my inner person upon salvation. I went from a dead man walking to a saved person that is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. So if you're born only once, you're going to have to die twice. If you're not born again, you're going to have that physical death that we will all experience. Okay. If the Lord tarries, that's what's going to happen to us. But also, if you haven't accepted Christ, you're not only going to be born, you're not only going to die that physical death, but you will have that eternal separation, which is what death really means, separation. You will have that eternal separation from your Creator. And it is agony, for a never-ending agony. Let's go to... let's go to the next slide. Yeah, next slide. Wow, we're actually doing really, really good. I mean, I have no idea how long I've been talking. We might be up here for hours, I don't know. But we're almost done. That's a good thing. All God's people said, that's good. Time's different when you're up here. It can be boring as all get out right back. Never mind. I honestly, it doesn't have to be boring. I don't want it to be boring. The power's in the word, you know. Romans 6 and verse 4. We have that new life. The baptism, being submerged in water and being, I'm going to mess that up. You get dunked in water. You go under the water and you come back up. That's a picture of the new life. I am a new person. I am cleansed now. Okay. It ain't the removal of dirt that's saving your soul. It ain't being baptized that saves your souls. But God has commanded us to do it and not to be ashamed of what has happened to us. And it is showing the world, I identify with Jesus Christ. In a world of I identify of this, I identify of that. How about we identify as a Bible-believing Christian? How about them apples? Right? How about those apples? Whatever that means. Okay. Romans 6 and verse 4. How about those? No. How about them apples? Romans 6 and verse 4. We were buried therefore with him. It's a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us as well. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. The old man is dying. It's a picture of that. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit raised him back up, okay? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us as Bible-believing Christians. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism is a picture of me becoming that new person. That old person is dead. I am now an eternal, I am now saved. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. This right here is it right here. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. So what does that mean? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Well, you're not going to get to heaven on your own. You're not going to get to heaven on your own. But see, when I accept Christ, I become this new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You're not the person you used to be. Something supernaturally happened to you when you made that decision to accept Christ. Well, I don't know about that. I didn't fall over, or I didn't dance around. I didn't kick no pews over. I didn't swing from nothing. I didn't see no sparkles. Well, then you didn't do it. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to feel anything. But if you meant it, God meant it, and he received you into the family. Therefore, if anyone, and I'm not knocking, if you had some big emotional thing, man, that's wonderful. That's great. But I'm saying, don't doubt your salvation if you did not. Because if you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he took you up on that. Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So baptism is a picture or an illustration of what happened in our inward person when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I died and I rose again as a new person through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's something that Jesus Christ expects Christians to do, so we should do it, all right? And having said this, you know, the big thing in all this, which baptism is an ordinance, something we're supposed to do, okay? But you got to be in the family. And it's not about fitting in to anything or anything like that. I mean, let's be honest, the popular place to be is not a Christian, okay? That's not going to get you many brownie points anywhere. And let's be honest, a lot of Christians make a really tough example. You know, we don't live the way we're supposed to live, and we like to judge and condemn other people, and that ain't helping us, you know. But see, not to get into another message, but let's talk about what's truly important for a couple minutes here. You must be born again. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I want you to do that. If you have not done that, you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we need to do it right now. So this is what we're going to do. All right, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to say a prayer. And if you say it and you mean it, you are now in the family of God. Once you say this prayer and mean it, you're now in the family of God, okay? And this is the biggest, best decision you will ever make. I'm not trying to push anybody into doing it. And let me say this. I don't know if anybody is not a Christian in here. I don't have a clue. I don't know. I don't know anybody's heart, you know, but I want to offer us this wonderful thing of salvation. Okay, so everybody, if you want to accept Christ, or if you just want to pray along with everybody, just repeat after me if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, I repent of my sins. I know that I'm a sinner, and I've fallen short in many ways. I know that you, Jesus, are the Son of God, born of a virgin, and died and rose from the dead to pay for my sins and grant me eternal life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior from this day forward. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. So if you prayed that and you meant it, Welcome to the family of God. You're now a blood-bought Christian. You're not your own. You've been bought at a price. What you want to do is you want to get into the Word of God. You want to read the Bible. Start off in the book of John. That's a good place. Read the Bible. Spend time with the Lord in prayer. Well, what's this about? What's prayer? Talk to God. Just talk to God. Talk to God in prayer. Read the Scripture. Get involved in a church, a Bible-believing church. And we love you. So let's close with this. Tonight at 5 p.m., Brother Dalton has the great Bible study discussion group and free dinner. It's an awesome and amazing time. It's at 5 p.m. over at the Fellowship Building. Come out and be blessed with that. And then also Wednesday night, we have